One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Guys, we have a new tier on our Patreon, and it includes exclusive bonus content. Listen up. Right now, for just $5, you get the Honeydew a day early, you get it ad-free, and you get a full bonus episode of the Honeydew with Y'all, where listeners highlight their lowlights, and it's going to stay that way. $5. And for just $3 more, you're also going to get the way back a day early and ad-free, but that's not all. You'll get exclusive bonus content with the guests, some fun segments, maybe some games, and we'd love to get you guys involved. And that's all for only $3 more. And there's no censorship on any of the Patreon episodes. Subscribe now.
Hey, baby, we're going to be here all day. We're going to be here all day, baby. I like this kind of party.
Welcome back to the Way Back. I'm Ryan Sickler over here. I want to say thank you to everybody for supporting this show and anything that I do. But this show is so much fun. I've been loving doing this. If you're not watching, I'm telling you, watch. There's a lot of production in this show. We're going back through people's social medias, old school pictures, everything we can find, anything we're talking about. We're trying to look it up and add a little bit of life to people's stories here on the Way Back. So I'm very excited to have this guest, first time here, ladies and gentlemen, Jason Ellis in the Way Back. Welcome, buddy.
Stoked to be in this weird seat.
We're going to talk about that in a second, but promote whatever you'd like, please.
Tour dates are thejasonellis.com. Go on there, and wherever I'm going, you'll see it, and get a ticket. I'm killing it. Come out. And then Father Grind is on YouTube. And if you want to be a skateboarder and you're older, I got you covered. I'll get you shredding. I'm the greatest older skateboarder coach in the world, better than Tony Hawk. We've argued about it, and I won. He will get you hurt. I will get you.
I believe that. Yeah. I believe he.
He's like, you got it.
He's like, you could do this.
Yeah,
you could
do and it's like, yeah. Well, Tony Hawk tells me that I probably do, and then you eat shit and you go to hospital. Not me.
So you mentioned this weird seat. So before we were recording, we were talking and you were telling me in Australia, you don't have this seat or you didn't grow up in this seat.
In the seat where you look at the back?
Yeah.
No.
So this is the dashboard right here looking forward.
Ridiculous.
And you and I are sitting in the back looking at traffic right here. This is our traffic.
That would have been cool if I was a kid. I would have liked that.
Yeah. This is the seat, the way back. But you didn't have, so what?
Nah.
Nothing.
No, you can be in the back of the truck or a ute. That's psychotic. That is psycho, man.
That's the seat right there. You like, that
is,
you guys,
so
didn't
crazy
have this in Australia.
Yeah, and I'm Australian. You think we would have been into that? But
yeah,
we were like,
guys,
no,
yeah,
that's stupid. You're gonna kill some kids in there.
Look at that.
That thing is awesome. Did you get your own little house in the back?
Man, was the seat. That was
so
the spot,
good.
The way back. And then that thing would lay down and it'd be covered with like metal, and you could just have space for storage if you didn't want
to
sit back there.
Innovative.
What are you driving back into that? What's your first car, family car?
Wow. Well, my dad was into panel vans. He had like a panel van. He won like best panel van in Australia and stuff. He used to have.
He would enter competitions.
Yeah. He made his own grill, like designed a grill that was like before they had ones like spoilers that went all the way down to the front. He made that. Made his own like design grill, and then in the back all velvet, and then he put like a black and white TV inserted in it, so it was in a box so it looked like a flat screen,
like one of these. What kind of, you said Chevy never made it to Australia,
nah.
Is that right? So what are
so
you
we
getting
Holden
over there? Who?
Holden.
Is that Holden?
I didn't go to school, but yeah, sure. Sounds about right. So our arguments were Holden versus Ford.
Oh, you had Ford over there?
Yeah, we had Ford.
Holden.
But we didn't have good Fords.
Like, are these Holdens here?
Yeah, man. Those are, the Brocky Special was the jam.
Where's one? Do you see one?
Brocky Special was a – Brocky – Peter Brock was a race car driver.
Uh-huh.
And he won a bunch of championships in Australia. So then the Holden gave him the Peter Brock Special.
I see. So that's like, our Shelby.
Yeah, yeah, it is. Straight up. Yeah. Those two racing each other, fair race.
These right here, huh?
One time he won a race.
Is this accurate? Is this what they look like?
Yeah, yeah. One time he won a race and he had his window down. He had his arm out the window, so he was driving with one hand the whole time. And Australians love that shit. They're like, Brocky's the man.
So over here, so this is another thing I want to talk about, because you guys had kangaroo. We have deer here.
Yeah, well, we have deer too.
I feel like, though, you know, that's all we have that's even close that run amok like that.
Yeah.
You know, big that run wild.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, they run out on the road and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, you know how you have the signs, there's deer crossings? We have roo crossings,
right,
where it's the sign with a silhouette of a kangaroo.
Now, do you have any, like, we had deer whistles. Do you know what those are?
Nah.
Yeah.
Oh,
these
wait, it makes a sound?
Yeah, it's a sound.
And it deters the deer?
Supposed to. But I've had two of them.
Kangaroos don't give a shit what's siren you got there. You'd be all, ba 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 ba.
That deer just looked right out like, what is that?
You could have Dukes of Hazzard horn and they're still running at you, dude.
Ah, yeah. My brother, this made me think of this, man. So in Baltimore City, it's all row homes, okay? See how this is? See, these are all row homes are basically.
Oh, okay.
It's just one block of brick.
Yeah.
See the back one. And then there are just homes cut into it.
Yeah.
And parking is street parking only. Okay.
Yeah.
And people like to think that right out in front of my house is my spot.
It's your spot.
But,
right?
It's not. Right. It's a public street.
Yeah.
So my brother comes home one night and he parks in a spot, legal street spot.
Yeah.
Now, if there's a handicapped person there, they absolutely get their permit. You can't fuck with their spot, rightfully so. This is just a regular spot. And there's no street cleaning in Baltimore. Right. You know what I'm saying? It's you're there, you park.
Yeah.
My brother parks. He's got a white Toyota 4Runner. And this guy's coming out like, you're in my spot. My brother's like, it's the public street. It's not, I'm in front of your home.
Yeah.
It's not your spot.
Yeah.
Guys arguing with them, So we all go in the house. We're partying. We're drinking. We come out later to have. There you go, right here. We come out later to have a smoke, and my brother's window's busted. And
dude
fucked his car up.
Yeah.
So and we knew his car was in front of it because he's like, "That's my spot." So my brother's like, "All right, this motherfucker happens." I don't even know why he had it. I have to call him up and ask him why he had it. My brother has this deer piss thing for hunting.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. You put the scent out.
Yeah.
And he takes it and he pours it. He breaks that guy's window and dumps it all in his vents and everything.
Yeah.
I mean, you could just smell it coming out of the car, dude. That car was fucking
payback,
ruined,
baby.
Ruined, dude.
Yeah.
I'm like, you better move your truck now.
Yeah.
You better move your truck. So what do you mean? You said you had kangaroo fights. What do you mean?
I didn't have kangaroo fights. Well, maybe, but one time. So I used to go camping, dirt biking in the bush. So we didn't go to motocross tracks. We went out into the bush with tents. And then my dad would go riding with other guys. They had an enduro bike, so they had lights on, and they would go all night riding through trails and stuff. And I was a younger guy, so I had, like, when it was first the two strokes came out, it was kind of the beginning of dirt bikes, motocross bikes, where they got power band and stuff. But I was a little guy, so I had, like, a YZ80.
That was yours, right there.
That was when I was ripping. I had leathers that were red and white as well to match, and, like, chest protector and stuff. But, yeah, so I'm on one of those riding by myself out in the bush on, you know, some trail out in the middle of nowhere. And I don't know what you call a herd. Kangaroos are called like a I forgot. It's another name.
What is a herd of kangaroo?
A mob, a troop, or a court.
Yeah, mobs. Yeah, so a mob of kangaroos came. I'm like, dude, I don't know, maybe 10, 11, you know. And then those bikes go, dude. Like, when you got power band going, they freaking kick ass. And I'm like, bam, bam, bam. And I'm going down this little track. And all of a sudden, a mob, like, dude, like 50, maybe 60 kangaroos, like full-size kangaroos, come out of the bushes because it's dense
like
bush.
This right here. Princess, not like me.
Yeah.
Get a princess.
Wow. On the Soon as she saw him.
Right on cue. Come here, girl.
Wow, you don't like kangaroos? Well, they don't like you either, trust me. But, yeah, I was bucking, like going flat out, and these roos came flying out of the bushes onto the road, and I don't think they meant to do it. Like, that's another reason why I feel like your deer whistle doesn't work for kangaroos, because my bike is loud.
Yeah.
And they came flying out of the bushes onto the track, onto the path, into me, because it was so many of them, and clearly they didn't know I was there because they hit me.
Like they knock you off the bike and stuff?
Then they bumped into me, and I was like, whoa, and all of a sudden I'm in what is it again?
A mob.
I mean, a mob of kangaroos, and they're bouncing, flying, and I'm like, what the hell? And then in a minute, for a second, I'm nervous, and then all of a sudden I'm like, yeah. Like, I'm in a mob of kangaroos. Like, this is sick. Because even in Australia, dude, you don't get that close. And yeah. I'm, like, in this giant group. And then because they came out from the right side and went into the left side. So they left the track once they were like, whoa, like, loud bike. And then they cut off into the bush again. And one of them hit a tree running into it, because it's just so dense.
Mm-hmm.
Hit a tree, and I remember it like, boom, and hit the ground, and I lock up the bike like, whoa. And the roo just gets up and flies off into the bushes like nothing happened. I'm like, dude, they are diesel, dude. Yeah. Same as I seen a koala fall out of a tree like 50 feet.
What do you mean? It just dropped out?
This is like a part of my stand. I'm trying to work on it. It's not perfected. But when I was a little kid, I was like at some camp for like frustrated youth or something.
Wait, what? Do you remember what it's called?
The camp?
Yeah.
Nah. No.
Who sent you?
Probably everybody. I think it was a mutual agreement.
Okay, everybody. Yeah.
It might have been scouts, but I think it was like, I don't know. I can't remember. But we were smoking these. We called them barkies. It's like the bark off the tree rolls, and you put toilet paper in the bark and smoke it like it's a cigarette.
Mm-hmm.
So we're pretending we were smoking cigarettes.
Got it.
And we're out at night. And, dude, play the audio of what a koala sounds like. So I don't know this. I'm a kid.
Let's hear it.
And I don't know, but they go, oh, oh. Like it sounds like a monster.
Do it again. Let's hear you.
Oh, oh. That is a koala, ladies and gentlemen.
Let's hear it.
You don't even need to. I just did it.
He's horny. Get a horny. Okay.
Anyway, so we hear this sound. And we're freaked out. Like, nobody knows what it is, and we can't see what it is. And I thought it was a naked man in the tree because it sounded like a guy trying to be a monster.
Yeah.
And I got issues with naked people, so I was assuming that it was a naked man in the tree. So we all ran away. And then we go back there in the morning to smoke some more barkies, and then sure enough, that sound happens again, and we look up, and it's a koala. And we're all like, what the fuck? Koalas make that sound? And then somebody started throwing stuff at the koala, and he ran up the tree and he slipped and fell like 50 feet.
Nuh-uh.
Dude, and he just goes, and I'm like, that, what you mean? He's dead. You know what I mean? Like, as he's falling, I'm like, he's dead, you know? Because it's so far, dude.
Yeah.
And he just goes, boom. And as soon, like MMA, like as soon as he's back hit, he just bounced back and runs straight up and charges up the tree, like, grabbing, ripping the tree apart, like just so diesel strong, leaping up the tree like a freaking tiger, all the way back up to the tree and starts growling at us. And that's when I was like, dude, I would rather fight a naked man than a koala, because koalas are diesel.
Like a little Tasmanian devil.
Dude, they were wet, because you think they're like, everyone goes, Americans go to Australia and
how
they get
cute
the one,
they are,
he's all high and you get to hold him. He will kill you, dude.
Is that what it is? They're high? Is that what they do?
Yeah.
Apparently, they dope them up.
Apparently gum leaves get him high.
Oh, I see. Tell me about the river rapids.
Yeah, so my dad watched Deliverance back in the day.
Yeah.
Right? And yep. they were drinkers and hunters and all that stuff. So Deliverance comes out, and I'm pretty sure my dad wants to be Burt Reynolds, and so did all his friends. So they're like,
nobody wanted to be Ned Beatty.
Nah. Oh, we had a Ned though. There was a couple of my dad's friends that were, now that I watch it, I'm like, yeah, he was Ned.
Yeah.
Turns out I was actually, but anyway, he, that's another story for another show. We did know that there were, inflatable ones. You could do the, like a dinghy of sorts that were, they don't capsize, they don't sink. But my dad was always like, that's for pussies, because you can't sink. Mm-hmm. And that's like, we're trying to do it. We're trying to make it like Deliverance. So we would be in canoes and we would have guns and we would go down, we would drive up somewhere and have another car down the bottom and they would, you know, we'd go.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org
for sometimes overnight, so camp somewhere. Okay. And then go a little bit further, and there's, you know, there's parts where it's like real peaceful, and there was always these frilly neck lizards on the side we would mess with and stuff, and then there'd be sections of the rapids, and my dad and all his friends, they're drinking the whole time, so the more drunk they get, the more it'd always be this question where you get to the, you hear the rapids. And we get to it, we're getting closer, and somebody in the front goes, you know, which way? You know, it's like, so it's left, right, or straight down the guts. And the more drunk they got, the more the answer was, no matter what, was straight down the guts, because it just sounded cooler. Yeah. So it gets to the end where nobody's looking anymore. They just hear it and they go, straight down the guts. So we're going down the guts of whatever this river is. Sometimes the water would like splash up and go in it and we'd have to pull off the side and empty it out. But then the closer to winter, the more full the river is. Mm-hmm. And the more they knew that, and they're like, we're getting pretty good. We're getting bored. Like, let's make it like real hard and go when it's winter. So we got wetsuits on because it's freezing. And I was with one of my dad's mates, who was a Native American, but really loved Native Americans and like wore all the stuff. And like, he made a gunpowder pouch out of a goanna sack and stuff. And he had like the goanna claw necklace and stuff and smoked weed all day. He even had a teepee.
No, nah, like
he bought his own land and had his own teepee. He was out of his mind, and he still worked for
He's not Native American.
Yeah, he worked
at
an electronics store.
Like, okay, Charlie.
Yeah, Mick, his name was. Good guy. He's always nice to me. But we're in the canoe and we're going down the river, and there's a log, like a big tree, snapped halfway through the river, and we're going to go around it, and the current's real strong. And we're trying to go around it, and one of them hits it, falls out, and the river starts pulling him under it, and he's holding onto the log, and it's like no one can get him out, and he's like, I'll just go under it, and let's go, and get shot out the back. And then I come over, and we don't get around it, and it catches us sideways. So we get stuck on it sideways, and I'm a little kid, so they're like, you can't let Jay go under the log, you know what I mean? And this river is like really pulling. And it starts to sink the canoe, but one part of the canoe is like almost made it past the log, and the current rips the canoe in half.
It broke it in half?
Yeah. Like the current, dude, I'm going to like drown for sure. And these guys are all drunk. They got guns everywhere. There's just, every cooler is full of beer. There's no food because they're gonna kill rabbits. We're going to eat off the land, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just nothing that you would want to live off. Just, yeah, because it's just beer.
Yeah.
Beer and whiskey. Yeah. That's what everyone has. Tons of it. So this thing snaps off, and I make it past the log because I'm in the snapped off bit, and the thing rolls over, and I go through rapids, you know, like rocks hitting me and shit, and I'm freaking out. I'm little, dude. I'm like crying. I'm not cool with it. And like they're also going down the rapids without the canoe, and I think my dad and one other guy, like, you're all right, Jay, you know what I mean? Hang in there, mate. And I'm like, ah, I'm dying. They're like, you're not dying, mate, you're all right. I'm like, I'm pretty sure I'm dying. And they're like, nah, stay cool. And I'm like, I'm not staying cool. Nothing's cool about it at all. And then they're like, yeah, grab onto the esky. That's a cooler, mm-hmm, in Australia. And so this thing's splashing around near me, and I grab onto the esky. And every time I'm trying to get on it, it rolls, you know what I mean? Because it's just it's just a cooler. And I'm trying and hanging off it, kicking. Wetsuit's kind of keeping me up a little bit. But I was on that cooler for a long time. like just bowling
floating down the river.
Floating. Is that what you call it? More drowning and floating at the same
time.
Until
everybody got caught up.
Yeah. And then it's like, Jay, you know what I mean? Nice one, Jay. And I'm like, I'm not proud. I don't feel good about it. Scared the shit out of me. And that was like the most traumatic part of it. But I really did love doing that river stuff. But there were times where it was like, we're not equipped. We're not advanced. We're not, you know, there's kayak guys and they do all this stuff. We didn't know how to do any of it, dude. Yeah, and it was almost on purpose. And it's always like close calls are fun. But when it gets to like someone's drowning, all of a sudden everyone's like, oh, no. You know, we didn't plan for that.
Right.
But that was almost like a guarantee.
Well, I wanted to ask you this because you're home of the most dangerous animals around. You guys,
it's not really like that.
But are you ever fucking around with snakes and stuff? Or
my dad's friend used to catch snakes. He would get a stick and make a fork, like find branches and snap it off so there was like a fork at the end of the stick. And then he would go after the snake and stab it on the head to like lock the head down. Yeah, trap it and then grab the tail. Walk around with it, you know what I mean? Try to put it in front of us and stuff, scare us. But a lot of these snakes, like the yellow belly black snake, it's fucking super venomous. And we're out in the middle of the bush. Like, you're not getting the venom for 3 hours, even if you did get bit.
Yeah.
And that would usually do it. Like, that you're dead. So those guys, there was one time I was riding with my brother on the back of a three-wheeler. Yeah, I'm riding this three-wheeler down this road and there's a bridge. And I've been down this track 1,000 times and the bridge goes over a river and it's got like the pylons like that. And then for a car, there's like a bit that you ride over. But three-wheeler, you just got to go through the bumps.
Mm-hmm.
And I come around the corner and I'm coming up towards the bridge and this big dirty snake comes slithering out right before the bridge. And I'm like, holy shit. And my brother's on the back. He's probably like 6 or something. And I'm like 11. And I go to lock up the bike. And I realize that as I'm skidding towards it, we're going to stop on it. So I'm like, I got to get on the guts again. So I like start flooring it. And I'm like, lift your legs up. You know what I mean? So we both go over it, lifting our legs up. And we run it over. And we killed it. And we don't know what it is. We don't care. We don't know anything like that. And we grab it. My brother's got it on his neck. And we bring it back to the house. And that's when I found out what a yellow belly black snake is. And then they
told me. You
didn't know? Nah, dude. Oh, like, dude, we weren't. We lived in it, but we were never. Oh, that's a, you know what I mean? That's a snake. That's what it is.
No, we were not. Like, that's a copperhead. That's a water moccasin.
Yeah, no, we didn't know. Yeah. Nobody ever. Those guys did. They would say it, and I'd go, is that good or bad? And they're like, that's real bad. And then that's how I found out that yellow belly black snake is venomous.
Do you ever have any big bugs, of that stuff in your house?
Bugs are fine.
Anything ever get in the house?
I mean, there's always been huntsmen's are, but they're not poisonous.
Still.
Yeah, agreed.
Still, tarantula size shit.
Yeah, they are tarantula looking. But I used to do.
Look at that thing.
Yeah, no, it's a dirty bastard right there. One time when I was a real little kid, a huntsman got on my chest. I got in my mum's bed because I had a nightmare, slept in the bed next to her.
And that happened?
And then I woke up and there was a huntsman on my chest. This is where I got arachnophobia. Like, it was on my chest and I was too scared to move or do anything. And then finally my mum woke up and flicked it off. But ever since that day, I was super scared of spiders until I moved to San Diego and people found out. So they kept putting bugs on me and like doing the little thing where they'd touch my ear and shit, to the point where I was like, you know what? If it is, it is. Because I couldn't flinch anymore. They made me flinch so much that I gave up on it. And then they cured me somehow. They bullied me into being
out of arachnophobia.
Yeah.
Tell me about stealing. You stole something when you were a kid?
I used to steal car badges. Got in trouble for that.
What's a car badge?
Like, you know, Mercedes-Benz emblems and shit. Okay. I used to like pop them off.
Well, you know what was popular for us was the Jaguar one for some reason. Do you remember
those?
The one
you pull out in the front?
Yeah. And it was a full Jaguar.
It's got a cord on the end of it.
Yes, it does. We learned that. Yeah.
I got caught. I had a pillowcase full of them underneath the bed. And my mom found it.
And were you just storing them? Were you going to sell them? What were you doing?
Oh, I didn't have the intelligence to sell anything. Just
stealing
like,
them to keep.
Yeah. And I got in big trouble for that. And then, I was a little bit frustrated as a child, but I really liked He-Man. is like a
He-Man right there. Yeah, left.
I was a huge fan. Now it kind of makes sense. But I went to the toy store and I used to steal He-Man action figures. And like,
now, are you going in by yourself or are you going with mom and mom doesn't know you're taking them?
Me,
you know,
and the boys
I mean?
Would go BMX over there and be like, oh, look at that, you know, and then try to steal some stuff. But we got good at it and we were like really compiling, like quite, you know.
Was your method? What was your move?
Oh, grab the box and run.
Just grab and go.
Yeah, nah, because I stole Castle Grayskull.
My little brother had Castle Grayskull.
It probably started
with the microphone in the back.
Yeah, fuck yeah, dude. Those things were sick.
I think it was big. Yeah.
That was a big box, too.
That is a big box to steal. There it is.
Yeah, I had it under the arm like a football, dude. Paced out of there. And I remember thinking I got away with it, and then I got caught, and then my mum's boyfriend was like a lawyer or whatever, and he got me off because it was going to be a felony or something bad was going to happen. I was going to have to, you know, like have a record, and he like argued it and got me out of having a record when I was a kid.
Is this the same boyfriend you would fight?
No, there was another one. My mom had some boyfriends, but one guy I really liked because he was a young guy from my mom, and he came over the house and gave me a suitcase full of Matchbox cars, and I was into Matchbox cars, and he had his childhood ones, and he gave them to me. It was like 100
of them.
That's nice. Yeah, and he was a young guy, so I liked him, you know, because he would talk to me a little bit. So I was like, I like this guy, mom. Like, you should stay with him kind of thing. And then I came home from school one day on my BMX, and I was into Bruce Lee big time. Into the Dragon was like a movie I would just watch over and over again. And I built nunchucks. I mean, I had broom handle and I sawed it in half and had a little chain link, and I did those screw in things like that. And I used to practice nunchucks in the garage. I wasn't very good at it, but I could make them work. And I come to the front of the house and I look in the front window, there's a big window in the front, and they're arguing. So before I went into the house, I'm looking like, what the hell's going on here?
How old are you?
Like 11.
Okay.
And then he pushed her.
Whoa.
Decked her. So she like
goes. You witnessed this.
Yeah. So like I see them arguing and he grabs her like scruff of the neck kind of thing and then threw her on the ground and she disappeared, you know what I mean, to the ground. And I just fucking snapped. Went in the garage, went in the backyard, went in the garage, grabbed my nunchucks, come through the back into the living room, and he's yelling at her, and he turns around because he hears me. And as soon as he turns around, I already had the nunchuck, you know, under your
tucked
armpit.
Under, yeah. Did you pull him out too and give him one of these?
No, because I had it in here. Yeah. So as soon as he turned around, he's like a tall guy. He's like 6'2".
You're right.
And I went, bye! And got him right in the forehead and dropped him to his knees.
He dropped him.
Yeah, I dropped him.
11-year-old.
I was going to rat a tat tat on his ass after that. And I think he grabbed him or whatever. He didn't hit me. Oh, you know, because he knew that wasn't cool. But he did yell at me or whatever, and I stood in front of my mum like, get the fuck out of here, you know what I mean, like defending my mum's honor. And then he left, and then I think my mum told my dad.
Can you imagine being a grown-ass man and having to take an L from a 10-year-old's nunchuck?
I never thought of it like that.
But yeah, he's got to walk through life with that.
Yeah, they broke up. He never came back. I kept those cars too.
Homemade ones too, homemade.
Yeah,
ones.
But they worked. They worked good.
Oh shit, that is great. That is great.
Yeah, I was ready, man.
Oh my god, dude. Yeah. What about? Did you play sports or anything like that growing up?
Aussie rules football and cricket, because those are our sports.
Mm-hmm.
So I got one time. I got mark of the day. Took a one handed mark. I got kick of the day. You got a dollar for it. And cricket. I liked playing cricket, but
were you good?
Yeah, I was. I never really cared, you know, so I didn't put that much effort into it. But I think I always had athleticism a little, not so much athleticism, more when I play, I try.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I didn't notice it at the time, but looking back, I think a lot of kids kind of were like, you know, it is what it is. But to me, if there's a contest, I'm always pretty serious. You know what I mean? I put 100% in.
Yeah.
So I think I think my dad came to a couple of games actually, which was, it's having somebody watch me do the sport was a big deal because they were always pretty busy. So I remember my dad being at a game once and kicking a goal, and that was like a life highlight at that point in time. But those were – wasn't life or death, you know? Like when skateboarding showed up, different thing came over me, you know, where it was like I'll die for this.
Yeah.
And they only came to one thing ever. No, that's not true. Two times. One time they came when I was a little kid and the pros came, and there's video of it too. We played it on Hawk versus Wolf, which was pretty fucking cool, where my dad paid, I think it was like $15 to get in the contest, and I was late, so they put me in the fourth heat, and there was American pros for the first time in Australia, and I was in a heat with Tony Hawk.
No way.
And I'm on the deck.
Is that right?
Yeah, and it's I showed Tony, which is super crazy, where I'm 16, Tony's probably like 19, 20, something like that. And he's standing right there, and I look at the camera, you know, because I can see Dad's filming me, and I look over at Tony Hawk, and Tony Hawk looks at me, and I go, like, because I don't want to get eye contact with Tony Hawk, but I'm just like, he's right there, like freaking out. But
dude,
then
that's awesome.
But then many years later, where I turned pro, I've been to America like 3 or 4 times, and my dad didn't know or believe me that there was such a thing, you know what I mean? Like, because I'm the first Australian to ever be a pro skateboarder.
Is that right?
Yeah, like
you are the
first Australian-born professional skateboarder.
I didn't know that. I didn't realize that.
Yeah. So, and my dad didn't pay attention to that stuff. You know, he was into moto and things like that. And there was a time there where I'd come back and stay at his house, and I stayed for a little bit longer one time. And a check, I was on the Bones Brigade. And a check came. I used to get paid $3,000 a month, which was a lot back then. And the check came, and he opens it in the kitchen. I'm watching TV, and he goes, "What's this?" And I'm like, "What is it?" And he's like, "It's a check." And I'm like, "It's probably PAL." That's the name of the company. And he goes, $3,000? What's this for?" And I was like, "Are you serious? For skating?" He's like, "For skating? How often do they give you these?" I'm like, "Every month." He's like, "Every month? You should take this shit serious." I was like, "I'm top 10 in the world. How much fucking more serious do you want me to get?" I'm like, "What'd you think that I was doing?" He's like, "I thought you were selling drugs." Weed, not heavy stuff.
Oh, that's great.
But I'll never forget looking at him like, "What do you mean, dude? Like, selling weed? Like, I can't sell anything. I've tried to sell weed one time. I smoked it all, and the dealer was going to beat me up. I had to give him the money."
Yeah, you got to sell drugs you don't want to use. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That I never did that.
Jason Ellis, you're a gem, my man. Thank you, brother. Thank you. I see you. Even if your dad never did. I see you, brother. I see you.
I really need that right now.
I see you. Thanks, brother. Dude. I love you. Promote whatever you like one more time, dude.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Love me, people. That's all I want. Yeah. Just love me. If you see me, hug me, because that's all I really need, obviously. But if you go to thejasonellis.com and buy a ticket to my comedy show, that's even better than a hug as far as I'm concerned. But if you go to my show, I do take hugs. Thank you.
All right, brother. We'll talk to y'all next week.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.